Praise the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy of all praise. Well, let me first thank all of you for your prayers. I made it there. And I made it back. 15,000 miles round trip. For a girl who the doctor said, if you go 3.5 hours, I'm not too keen on you flying. Because I had embolisms in my lungs. The doctors wouldn't even let me drive my car because my lungs were filled with blood clots. But how many of you know Jesus is a healer? How many of you know that prayer changes things? How many of you know that there's absolutely nothing too hard for God? See, I'm gullible. I believe that. I walk in that. I trust that. I give my life. I stake my life on God never fails. Well, I'm happy this morning. I'm so happy for everything. But we're going to give you a little taste of what we experience in the Philippines. And I warn you, I'm contagious. I am contagious. So if you're not ready to open up the floodgates and let the Lord come in and let the Holy Ghost bless you and let the presence of the Lord fall on you, you better leave now. Amen. I give you time to leave now if you don't want the presence. See, the presence is already here. It's already in the atmosphere. Anything that's not like God can't live in the presence of God. So if you are in here, God's breathing on you. God's moving on you. God's touching you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. See, that's why I live. That's why I breathe. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to ask Hope Christina Cotton. And first of all, where's Hope? Okay, could you come down, please? Because I just want to let you see the people who went to the Philippines with us. We took God. We took your prayers. We took your blessings. And we took revival. We brought something back, too. Are you ready? This is my granddaughter, Hope. Stand up, please. Pastor Sam, could you stand? Pastor Manny, Michael. We took the journey together. We're going to give you a little treat this morning. After Hope sings, Pastor Jimmy is going to come up and share some of the things that happened in the Philippines, and then I'm going to share a message with you. And we're going to get out on time. How about that? All right.
Magandang umaga. I learned that while I was out there. It's good morning. All right. So while we were out there, I had to lead worship in a few different places, and in Tagalog, which is their native language. And I have learned songs in Spanish, different African languages, but this was like the hardest language ever to learn. But praise God. It was a blessing because it makes you appreciate America on another level for sure. But also just to see a people that loves God so much, it was inspiring. So I thank God for the opportunity. And yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing a song that I sang out there. I'll sing it in Tagalog, and then I will attempt to sing it in English so that everybody knows what we're talking about. Cool? All right. This song is called Magbalik Ka. Kaibigan, kinakilangan. Ika'y magbago na kabiguan at kasawian ilapit mo sa kanya lamang may kalutasan sa kanya lamang may buhay na walang hanggan. magbalika sa Panginoong yayan na ang tamang panahon. Sige na kaibigan, Diyos ang panaligan kay Jesus. Magbalika. And now I'll sing it in English. My dear friend, Jesus said that you must be born again. All of your failures and frustrations, just turn them over to Him. Only Jesus Christ can break those chains. In Jesus Christ, you shall have everlasting life. Return to Him. He's our forgiving Lord. Now's the day for you to kneel before Him. Oh, my friend, God is on your side, Jesus Christ. Surrender your life. Surrender your life. Sa kanya lamang may kalutasan. Sa kanya lamang may buhay na walang hanggan. Magbalik ka sa Panginoon na yan na ang tamang panahon. Sige na kaibigan, Diyos ang panaligan kay Jesus. Magbalik ka, magbalik ka, magbalik ka, magbalik ka.
Amazing. You know, and so right now they had some pictures that they took, and we're going to go through a few slides, and Pastor Barbara wanted us to be able to read these to you so you could get a flavor of what the trip was about before she comes and speaks. And so, at the outset, allowing us to give our highest praise and continual thanksgiving to our Almighty God for the heartening visit and vivacious ministry of the Vegas team led by Reverend Sam Kays, her husband, Reverend Manny Kays, and joined by Brother Michael Vergara, who coalesced with Reverend Barbara Potop, her sister Jacqueline Walters, and Sister Hope Christina Shorter in the ministering to our church. The Light of the World Worldwide Ministries, during our 33rd annual Pastors and Workers Conference at Kilira Resort, Lumban, Laguna, Philippines. At the evening session on November 29th, the Vegas team led the whole night in a powerful and touching singspiration and worship time, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, using the Kays couple, Michael, and the emotionally charged soulless rendition of spiritual songs of lovely Sister Hope, who's an incredible singer, right, who became an instant star. In the process, the whole congregation encountering the Lord in the high heavens and blessing and uplifting 409 pastors, assistant pastors, cell group leaders, workers, and their families in attendance. God's servant leaders were totally enraptured, inflamed with His love, and fired up during this revival night. And when Reverend Barbara stood up to convey the word of life, she was aglow with the presence and shadow of the Almighty, spoke with piercing authority, and captured every heart into submission with a revival message of promise, process, and provision. As she prayed afterwards, many were healed miraculously of illnesses and delivered from oppressions and depressions, with many rededicating their lives and enriching in their calling. Thereafter, Reverend Barbara led the team in distributing her audio CD, God's Healing Answers, which is a great book. We have that here if you would like it. And she gave for free. Although the conference ended on December 1st, the Vegas team continued to minister to us on December 3rd during our Sunday celebration in North Fairview, Quezon City, on the occasion of our 32nd church anniversary. And the man, I believe, that's leading the church is the man in the red shirt with the white hair. He's the bishop, right? And he's the one that wrote this. And one of the things is that he's leading so many young people are in his church, because the youth of this world are rising up. And this is a picture of one of the churches they ministered that, and then the next one. With Reverend Manny at the keyboard, Reverend Sam with her patented song leading, Brother Michael with the standard drums, once again the Vegas team led us in heavenly songs during the praise and worship time. The very talented Sister Hope once more moved the congregation and surprised us with her Filipino praise songs, which she had learned instantly after I induced her as the new Whitney Houston. Amen to that. Reverend Barbara and Sister Jacqueline inspired us with their brief exhortations. They continued to pray and intercede for the ministry of the light of the world. Brief as it was, what a spiritual awakening indeed. And the entire church truly experienced a great visitation and impartation of blessing. The Vegas team was especially sent by God to minister to us in this season of time. And then this again is them ministering in the Chinese church.
Yeah,
Assemblies
of God Chinese church.
Yes. And you know what? Just a quick thing before I pass it over to Pastor Barbara. As Pastor Randy always says, that the ministry of Trinity Life Center never, ever sets. The sun never sets on it because of your giving, and around the world we've given to the ministers and the missionaries. And so, Pastor Barbara, bless you.
I'm going to ask Pastor Sam, because I know she wants to say something, if she would come up and have a word just before I take my text.
I want to give back all the glory to God that we're able to come back alive with Pastor Barbara. As I was reading what happened to Jonah, Jonah was asked by God to go to Nineveh to encourage the people there, right? But what happened to him, he got scared, right? Because of the situation there. But for Pastor Barbara, she's truly a servant of God. She put her faith and trust in God and believing that she is covered by the holy presence of God. And I was so touched by the song of our dear pastor here. The presence of God is everywhere, here in this place and also in the Philippines. We need revival here. Revival starts from every heart of every individual, also in the Philippines. And so, in my heart, in our heart, I'm standing before you, including our brethren, the Jesus Assembly, it's just the name, but all of us are brothers and sisters in the Lord. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross is for everyone. They need to hear the word of God. Pastor Barbara, I'm not taking your time, but allow me to say this, that every opportunity that God is giving to us to share the good news is open to everyone. Because our life is just, for the meantime, now you're here, tomorrow you're gone. Now you're here, tomorrow you're gone. When you go out of that door, you never know what will happen to you. But every opportunity is given to us to share His word. And I give God the glory to Pastor Barbara, Mom Jackie, and Sister Hope. Pastor Barbara did not ask me Are we going to stay in a 5-star hotel? What are we going to eat? Are we going to ride in a luxury car? No. She just obeyed the calling of God to minister to us in the Philippines. And I want to thank the pastor here, the seniors, all the pastors here. From the senior to the maintenance, thank you for your love and care for us. I'm standing here in front of you, and I'm so proud and thankful to God that I never felt that we are being, what you call this, discriminated. I want to thank, Pastor Randy is not here, but our pastor is here. And so I want to give God all the glory and the highest praise. We will continue as one body in Christ, serving the Lord, winning souls for Christ as one spirit, united in our spirit. And I want to thank God again. Pastor Barbara, I love you so much.
Father God, as we come before you today, let your holy presence continue to fill this place. Open up the floodgates. Open up our vessels to receive what you have for us, God. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your blessings. Bring healing, deliverance, wholeness. Deliver from sickness and pain, depression, sorrows and sadness. Lack has no place here today. Your presence will fill this place. I thank you for it and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, trust, and obey. Say it with me. Listen, trust, and obey. You know, there's a saying that preach a sermon with your life. And if necessary, use words. Well, I had the opportunity to do both. I had to listen, and I had to trust, and I had to obey. We planned a trip, and tickets were bought by May of 2016. And we were scheduled to leave on November 27th, which was Monday, after the holiday. All was in order, or so we thought. How many of you that God knows the plans he has for you, but you don't? How many of you know that when you plan, God laughs? How many of you know that the more proficient that you are, the more God will just throw egg in your face? We got up at 5:00 in the morning. We were ready to go to the airport, and my grandson was going to be our driver. He overslept. I wasn't concerned because I had the times that the plane was going to leave mixed up. So when he got there, I says, we got to rush because we got to get to the airport. Now, let me show you something. For the first time, and I've traveled for over 50 years, first time I didn't have my boarding pass. And that was trouble right there. And I said to my sister, by the way, had flown from Pennsylvania to Las Vegas so that she could go with us to the Philippines. Now, she wasn't invited, by the way. She invited herself. When I told her that I was going to the Philippines, she says, I'm going with you. And so I said, okay. So you got to call Pastor Sam and Manny so they can make arrangements. She did everything, and she takes care of my mom. And that's difficult to get nursing care for my mom. She went through all kinds of hoops so that she could come to Las Vegas to come with me to the Philippines, my youngest sister. Anyway, we get to the airport, and Pastor Sam, Pastor Manny, and Michael are running, trying to get our luggages on. Door shut. They said, sorry, you can't go on this plane. Okay, I'm not too upset. I said, well, we'll go on the next flight. We'll take another flight out and meet them in L.A. So, you know, you're texting this one, you're texting, I'll see you in L.A. Get back to the travel agent. She says, you have to purchase a whole new ticket. What? She says, you have to purchase a whole new ticket. I said, well, from L.A., from here to L.A., it's not going to be too bad. She said, no, from here to the Philippines, you got to purchase a new ticket. How much is it? Now, remember that it's my sister and I, $2,450. I says, I don't have that kind of money. Where am I going to get that from? We're at the airport trying to get a flight, so where are you going to get that kind of money? So she says, well, I'm not sure I can even get you a flight out because the flights are all packed. Remember, it's at Christmas time. It's getting close to Christmas time. Everybody's going home. So she said, I don't know if I can even get you a flight out. So she started to try to get the flights. And then she said, well, you're going to have to pay a penalty. I said, a penalty I'm not worried about. I said, but to buy a whole new ticket, that's a lot of money. I don't have it. She says, well, you're going to have to pay as though you're coming to buy a ticket today. I said, Lord, now listen to me. I did not pray. I just said, Lord, what are we going to do? My sister quietly says to me, she says, Barbara, I said, yeah. She said, you know, when I got ready to leave my house, I looked at my credit cards. She says, and I had a card that I had not used that was loaded. She says, we can use that card to purchase the new tickets. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Problem's over. See, what I'm telling you is that these are roadblocks that the enemy puts up. The devil did not want me on that island. So I says, okay, we'll be able to get them and get the flight. The flight to the Philippines wasn't until later on, so we could have caught the flight if they had allowed us to get on the flight to Las Vegas, from Las Vegas to LA. She looked and she says to my sister, we don't have any seats. I can't find a flight out of here for you on any flights. So we said, look again. So she looked, and so finally she says, okay, if you're going to purchase new tickets, then I'll get you on another flight. My sister gives her the credit card. By the way, we had 8 luggages, 2 suitcases each, 1 carry-on, and 1 personal item. So here we are with the whole lobby full of luggages. So now she says that she's going to get us on this flight. We go back to the ticket counter, and the ticket agent says, okay. She checks my sister in, and my sister gives my sister her boarding pass and sends her luggage on to go on the flight to L.A. We're waiting for mine. Finally, she says, the ticket agent says, you better call back and see what's going on. We call back to the travel agency. She says, oh, I only had 1 ticket. She only had 1 ticket. We were traveling together. So she had to void the ticket that she had for my sister, run, and she was such a kind lady. She ran to pull all that luggage back of my sister's, and now here we are at ground zero once again. The problem was that the Philippines is 16 hours ahead of us. So while it was Monday here, it was Tuesday there, and we were scheduled for the event on Wednesday night, the first event. She says, I can't get you out until tomorrow. I says, but the event is tomorrow. She says, well, what time? I says, 6 o'clock. She says, well, I'll get you there at 6:30 in the morning. But you have to drive from Las Vegas to to L.A. Can you get somebody to drive you from Las Vegas to L.A.? Now, I have to tell you something. During this whole thing, I'm sure some of you have already said that. Forget it. I'm just going back home. The trip is canceled. It never entered my mind because God had said two words, one word, go. I didn't know how I was going to get there. It looked pretty dim, but God had said go, and that was my consolation. If God says go, he's going to make a way. I didn't know how. So she says, I can issue you tickets from L.A. to the Philippines. Fine. Get those tickets. We'll get a driver. My grandson, he's sitting up in the lobby there now. I told him, I says, you got to get us to the airport. Andre, I need you to drive me to the airport, LAX, no less. All right. And we got to be there by 7:30 if we're going to get an 11 o'clock flight, a 10:30 flight out. He says, okay, I'll get a friend, and we'll drive you. And let me tell you, if you ever need a driver that's fearless, that's totally crazy, that trusts God to get you where you need to go, that's the man. As we started to go to L.A., my sister was sitting on the front seat. And she drove on the front seat until we made a stop. And when we made the stop, she said, I'll trade seats with you. She couldn't bear it because he was going to get us there. But we were so afraid that he might not make it. He got us there on time. And I just praise God and bless God for him. And I thank God for him because he was fearless. He was fearless. And I said, I'm saying, Jesus. And so he looks around. He says, you want to drive? Anyway, pushing through. We get to the airport, and I look. And God had said to me when we were getting ready to plan for the trip, he says, I want you to give your cassette, your CD, to every pastor, and they can play it in their churches. Well, I asked Bishop Omar Vigilia, is his name. He's a wonderful man of God. He's a lawyer, and he's a bishop. And he's the most Holy Ghost-filled man I met in a whole long time. He's a precious man of God. So we're taking the books. I asked him how many passes. So we took the boxes and we split them up. Well, you know, with all those, we had 16 luggages all together. So we split the books up in every luggage. I had my carry-on case with me, and I had it, of course, loaded with what? Books. So when I get to the Philippine Airlines, normally, if you have a carry-on, you check your baggages, and then you take your carry-on with you on the plane. The ticket agent looks at me. He says, do you have a carry-on? I said, yes. Put it on the scale. I said, Satan, you are a liar. I put it on the scale. He says, that will cost you $150 if you want to take it on the plane. So what? He says, you're overweight, and the only way that you're going to take that on is you got to take out, which was the bulk of what the books were, almost everything that was in there. So very quietly, my sister says again, Barbara, I have the credit card. You can use the credit card to pay for the books. I said, thank you, Jesus. We paid for the books. Got onto the plane, and I said to my sister, I said, I give God all the glory. I'll praise him if I can just get onto the Philippine Airlines and get a seat. And when we finally got the seat, I think it was 15 hours later, we landed in the Philippines. It was an awesome flight. We started to experience the hospitality and the humility of the Philippine people on that plane. It didn't end there. It began there, and when we got to the airport, there was Pastor Sam and Pastor Manny and Michael. And they got us from there, and they had said to us, beware of traffic. It's unbelievable. Traffic? I said, it couldn't be worse than California or New York or Dallas, Texas. They said, you haven't seen traffic yet. I look at the airport, and as far as I can see, there's every kind of moving vehicle that you could imagine. They had tricycles. They had bicycles. They had motorcycles. They had jeepneys. They had buses. They had every kind of transportation, all amalgamated together there. And so we leave there because we got to get to the hotel, because in a few hours we had to be at the venue for that event tonight with Pastor Manny's birthday and Pastor Sam's anniversary. We get into the vehicle that we're going, and I look up, and when we finally did get onto the highway, you know, normally there are like 5 lanes of travel here and 5 lanes of travel there, one coming this way and one going that way. Except that when I looked, what should have been 5 lanes was 10 lanes. 10 lanes here and 10 lanes here. Every vehicle had to have their space. So the tricycle took its space, bicycle took its space, motorcycle took it, and we and our little jeepney was trying to find our space. I never heard. And that was the way the traffic was everywhere you went. We visited 6 to 8 cities. Every time we got on the highway, we had to build in at least 2 hours for travel. There was never an accident. That was amazing. I could not imagine people on all of those different types of vehicles moving together. There was a guy in the left lane, and he was coming to the right side. He was far left, so now that means that he's 10 lanes over. The traffic, I kid you not, was from bumper to bumper. This guy started to turn, and I said, I want to see this. He started in the first lane. That vehicle let him through. He got in the next lane. That vehicle let him through. That guy went all the way across to make his turn, and everybody let him. I was amazed. There was not a yell, there was not a screaming out the window, there was not a finger, nothing. Everybody just waited. Everybody just waited and let him cross. So now, we get to the venue for their event that night, and Bishop Omar says to us, you gotta pack your luggage, come to my house and spend the night, because we'll have to leave in the morning at 6 a.m. Well, it was almost, we had had no sleep, by the way, for a couple of days. So we pack everything up, and we're thinking, okay, 11 o'clock at night, the traffic's not going to be so bad. Traffic, bumper to bumper, all the way from the venue to his house, which seemed like, I kept looking, I said, well, is it ever going to end? It was at least 2 hours to his house. So now he says, we got to leave in the morning and go. We go. Get up the next morning and we go. They said, you got to pack all of your luggage and take it with you. We're getting ready to go to the conference. So we pack all the luggage again. We drive in that traffic for 2 to 4 hours, I think it was. And we come and they say, okay, you got to take a boat. A boat. It's okay to take the boat, but see, we had about all of these luggages. Now we had almost 16 luggages, because theirs was in there as well. And it was just a small ferry. So the bishop's wife says, oh my God, the boat's going to sink. And so we get down out of the jeepney and get all of the luggages down to the boat side. And it's just a little small boat. So the guy wisely decided, he says, I'll take your luggage over and come back and get you. Thank you, Jesus. He takes the luggage and he takes us back and he brings us about across the lake. And we get to the across the lake, and now we look up, and there was another mountain. See, at Lake Kalaraya, the resort was like this, 1,200 feet in the air, above the lake. So you have to get from the lake up to the resort. We made it. He had to take the luggage, and then he came back to get us, and we made it to the hotel. By this time, it's close to time for the conference to start. By the time we got our rooms, and I'm going to skip some of this for you. Anyway, we get there, and so we said, okay, it's time for supper. We can't eat. We'll just get dressed, and we'll be ready. So when we got into the conference, the Spirit of the Lord was just there. It was charged. Everybody was praising God. And they all had just come from trials and struggles and challenges to get there. But they were so glad they were there. They were totally uninhibitedly praising God and lifting God up. So Bishop Omar introduces the Vegas team. And, of course, Hope blew up the place. Pastor Sam and Pastor Manny blew up the place. And then he says, okay, we're going to introduce our speaker, Pastor Barbara Potok. So I got up, and I had this with all kinds of sermons, and I'd been studying for 6 months. And I'm waiting to take my text, and the Lord says, change the message. Change the message. So I said to Bishop Omar, I said, may I speak from my heart? And the Holy Spirit was all over him. He says, absolutely. God gave 3 words. 3 words. God makes promises to all of us. What we forget when God makes promises to us is that there's something that happens before we realize the provision. There's a promise, there's a process before you get to the provision. God showed me, he says, you're living it out right now. He says, I promised you that I was going to get you there, but I didn't tell you it was going to be easy. I didn't tell you it wouldn't be roadblocks. I didn't tell you that it was going to be a straight journey. But the one thing that you have to remember, Lord, I'm with you always. Whatever you go through, I go through it. I'm not going to leave you, and you're going to arrive there safely. And as I started to minister, the Holy Spirit just fell. Because as we talked about the fact that here were pastors and leaders who suffered, who cried and prayed, who were tired, who were unappreciated, who just needed to have a word from God, a refreshing from God. They, all over the island, there were signs saying, bring revival. And by the way, when I asked Bishop Omar, what do you want me to speak about? He says, bring revival. Those were his 2 words, bring revival. So we brought revival. When we got through the process and we looked at how God had made provisions for us, but we had to go through the mountains, through the trials, through the disappointments, through the rejection, through the anger, through the hurt, through the pain. I was hurting so until my body forgot about hurt. A couple of times I was coming unglued and my sister was right there. She said, it's going to be all right. See how God had provided. He had provided for every roadblock that the enemy would put in front of me. And I looked at my sister. I said, the devil really doesn't want me on that island. I said, but he's going to be sorry when I get there. We preached and the Holy Spirit fell. Because everybody there was going through something. And we were not there for shape, form, or fashion or to see Vegas team. We were there to see Jesus. We were there to receive from him. And we just said, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Open up the floodgates. We need to see you. We got to see you. I said, Lord, if you don't show up, they ain't going to see nobody because I'm just spent. But many times, how many of you know that in your weakness, God is made strong? See, there was absolutely, I want you to look at me, there was absolutely nothing left in me. So God had a whole bunch of room to work what he wanted to work on the inside of me. And let me tell you, he worked it out. There were, you know, we preached about the promises of God and that they never fail. The process of God. He takes us through, but then we have that one assurance that he will never put on us more than we can bear. And sometimes I'm like Mother Teresa. God, I just wish you didn't have so much confidence in me. When I knew where we were in the sermon and in the message that night, the Holy Spirit had come in and just wrecked the place. Everybody was on their feet, young, old, children, babies, everybody, just praising and lifting God up, worshiping him. And God said to me, pray for healing. And as you can see, the place was just packed. You could hardly move in there. And everybody had their hands up, praising God, praising God. I says, God is bringing healing in the room right now. Let me tell you something. There's something when God charges the atmosphere. The atmosphere was charged in there. People were looking for God, and they were not going to take no for an answer. So they were crying out to God, and I was crying out to God for healing and deliverance and meeting their needs, refreshing, renewing. God is no respecter of persons, friends. Anytime, anywhere, he can come and do it if you let him. But we have to be open vessels. And I saw open vessels, and God was pouring in and pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And when we finished getting to the promise, and the promise was that I would get there, and I said to them, through the trials and the tribulations and through the setbacks and the setups, I made it. I'm here. And the devil's in for a ride. So, as soon as we finished the message, the coordinator says, okay, there's time now for pictures. Hold on. We were smothered with cameras all around. So now, the question that you ask, well, what happened? When were the people prayed for? When did you pray for them? You know something? You cannot figure God out. Your job is to listen and obey. God says, pray for them. You don't have to lay your hands on them. The atmosphere. In his presence, that's all you need. If you're in his presence, I don't have to come out and touch you even now. If you trust in God and you believe him and you cry out for God, he will come to your rescue. He'll come to your aid. So I was concerned about it for a little bit. I said, well, Lord, I never got a chance to find out what anybody needed. You said pray, and I prayed for everybody, and that's just it. And they ended right there and went for the photography. I finally made my way out, and when I made my way out, people started running to me to tell me I was healed of this. I received this. I received that. God healed me. It went on until we left there. The miracles that God had done through people understanding there's a promise, there's a process, but the provision comes. I want you to remember that in all of your ministries, in all of your goings and comings, when God promises, he will deliver. Not like you want it to be, because he's higher than you. His thoughts are higher than yours. So We come down, and my sister's lying on the couch. And the kids start, because they love pictures. And so they were kind of rounding up around her so they could get a picture. And so they kept going close, and she had her eyes closed. So finally she opened her eyes up, and when she opened her eyes up, there was a sea of people around her. So they said, "Photo? Photo?" So she got up, and she says, "Okay, you can have a photo, but I'm going to take pictures of you too." So then there was one little, he was a young man in the crowd. He wanted to talk to her afterwards. So he says, "Let me tell you something." He says, "When in that revival last night," he says, "I got healed." She says, "You did?" He says, "Yeah, let me tell you something." He says, "When I walked in there," he says, "both my arms were covered with splotches, white splotches." So he stuck out his arms. He said, "Look at them now. They were smooth as a baby's butt." That's what God does. I never touched him, never knew who he was. Many came later to tell how God had touched them. You know why he touched them? Because they reached out to him. They asked God, "Heal me, God." He said these words. He said, "I was crying with all of my heart. God, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live like this. Please heal my body. Heal my body." And God heard him. You don't need Pastor Barbara to come and touch you or Pastor Vic. What you need is the faith to believe that God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God is a way maker. There's absolutely nothing that he won't do for you if you listen, if you trust him, and if you obey. You know stories in the Bible where Naaman, you know Naaman was told to dip. He wanted the prophet to come. And the little girl says to him, "Won't you just obey? Won't you do what God says? Trust him and obey." And when he did that, he was healed. It's the same thing with every one of us. We already have the revival inside of each one of us. All we got to do is open up the jar. Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Huh? And if you will open up that vessel, infinity belongs to you. Revival is already yours. Let it out. Give God some praise. Go sharing with people and tell them that Jesus is real. Not only real to me, but he's real to everyone. And if you will but trust him, he can save you. There's a better life for you. There's a new life for you. And as you are giving out, God is giving in. We traveled to 6 to 8 cities. It seemed like 12 to 13 to me. But we traveled all over the island. And I never preached another sermon. So on the night that we were preparing to go, we'd gone and we'd seen some magnificent things. We shared some magnificent stories. But I didn't take the pulpit again. So as I was getting packed, I was hurt. I was disappointed because I didn't get to speak the word of God, and I had all of this word of God on the inside of me that I wanted to leave there with everybody. So I went in the bathroom. That's my private place. And I sat down, and God says, "Close your eyes." I closed my eyes. He says, "Look." I looked, and every place that we had gone had bloomings, had seeds coming up. Seeds had been planted. You remember how Paul says, "I plant, Apollo waters, God gives the increase." God said to me these words. He says, "You had to get there." Because, see, every one of us carries inside of us the Spirit of God. We carry something. Have you ever seen how disease gets spread? Through a carrier. I was a carrier. I was a carrier of the Holy Spirit, of the revival. And as we went from place to place, the angels were planting seeds all over for the revival. I didn't understand it, but I said, "Okay, God." He says, "Your job was to preach a message." There were 409 people there, and they were going back with that message. That was a revival message. He says, and everywhere that you rode, every city that you visited, you took the disease of revival with you, and the seeds were planted. Think about that. Think about who you are. When you speak, there's power of life and death in your tongue. Did you ever know where your words go? When we spoke revival on that mountaintop, it spread over the whole island of Manila. Remember that. You are more than a conqueror, and this is what God is telling you. You are more than a conqueror. God says, I didn't need you to speak. You already spoke. I took the words. All you had to do was be obedient. Listen to me. Be obedient. Trust me, and I'll bring the increase. And so I ask you to continue with me to pray that these seeds that have been planted and that are growing, God will send the increase to every one of those islands. And I want to thank you again for your prayers. And as I was getting ready to come back home, we went to the airport and got our boarding passes. Yes. But the agent says, we can only give you boarding passes to L.A. And you'll have to get your other boarding pass from L.A. to Las Vegas when you get there. Beautiful flight back. Go through customs. Get to L.A. Go to get our boarding passes. My sister's boarding pass came through fine. They called the supervisors to find mine. They never found it. So they said, you got to go over two terminals so that you can get to American Airlines and see what they can do. I said, you know something, Satan, I am just sick of you. Oh, we had some dialogue. We get over to the counter, and one of the agents from the other terminal had come over. She said, we can't find her anywhere. She's not in there. We look everywhere. It's not there. So the agent said, well, let me see what happened. I said, the flight is leaving at 7:30, and by now I'm getting ugly. And my sister says, don't get yourself upset, Barbara. It's going to be all right. I said, okay. We finally went to the counter, and she goes through, and she's checking here, and she's checking there. She says, oh, my goodness. So I said, do you have a boarding pass for me? She says, I don't know where they were sending you. She never even told me where they had scheduled my boarding pass to. I said, can you get me a boarding pass? I didn't even ask her. So she said, yes. And thank God that 10:30 that night, I made it to Las Vegas. I'm a little late, but I do want to say this. I don't want to close without saying this, you know. I was a part of the civil rights movement. I met Martin Luther King personally before he was Dr. Martin Luther King. Everything you saw, he was. He was a man of God. He was called for a time and a season and a purpose. And I remember his I Have a Dream as I stood on in front of the George Washington Memorial on the march on Washington. He says, I have a dream. I have a dream that black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholic would all come together, join hands, and all of God's children would be able to say, free at last, free at last. Friends, we're working on it, but we're not there yet. So keep the dream. Keep the dream. I also want to invite those who don't know Jesus. All of this stuff is foreign to you. Say, I hear this stuff, I go to church. It's not about going to church. It's about the church that's inside of you. Jesus wants to come and lighten your burden. He wants to ease your pain. He wants to deliver you from your darkness. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Are there any people here today that don't know the Lord and that they would like to ask the Lord to come into their lives? Would you raise your hands? Raise your hands. If there's anybody here, anybody here that needs Jesus, I've tried everything else and it's not working. Jesus is the answer. He's a healing answer. Now, before we close, is there anybody here? Does anybody see hands? Anybody's hand? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? See, I'm going to ask you to come up. Come on up. Anybody that needs Jesus, come on up. Anybody else? Doesn't cost you anything, but you gain everything. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Lord, yes, Jesus. Lord, come into my heart. Take care of me. Heal me. Take over the mess I've made with my life. And I surrender it all to you. Everybody to point your hands toward them. Father, we commit these young people.